Knowing how much home you can actually afford is probably going to be one of the most important financial decisions you make. You certainly don't want to be house poor. You certainly don't want to stretch yourself too thin. So making sure that you know exactly what you can afford is probably going to be the best.
A simple way to know how much you can afford is the 28-36 rule. And these are two income-based ratios that a lot of lenders will go off of to determine how much of a loan you can get, how much home you can afford.
Yeah, so the 28 actually refers to the principal, interest, tax, and insurance. It's really what your aggregate home cost is going to be on a monthly or annualized basis.
Yeah.
So you don't want your house expenses to be more than 28% of your income. So mm-hmm. It's a pretty easy calculation. That's one of the two most important metrics.
Yeah, and the 36 refers to debt to income. You'll maybe hear this DTI. And what that's looking at is all of your debt payments. So they're going to look at your new mortgage and everything part of that PITI you mentioned. And it's going to add to it, do you have student loans, credit card debt, car loans? And they don't want to see that be more than 36% of your gross monthly income. Now, you will see lenders go above that. So oftentimes you'll see them stretch it out where maybe they'll go to 43% is commonly what we see now. And sometimes even more. But whether or not that's truly affordable,
we've seen it up to 50.
Whether that's really affordable is a whole different story, but that's where you might get a loan to.
Yeah. So NerdWallet has a really good calculator to see this breakdown. So let's walk through a really good example of this. So let's say that you're a dual income family here in San Diego, mm-hmm. our area. It's a very high cost living area. And so how much can you actually afford on a $500,000 income? So that's going to be about $41,000 per month gross. So these are gross numbers, not net. Mm-hmm. So a 28% PITI would be about $11,600. So that would be your all-in monthly housing numbers. Mm-hmm. That'll be under that. Now your debt-to-income target should be about 36%, and that would be about $15,000. So those are the two ranges between the two. So you want to make sure that all of your mortgage and other debts equal less than that $15,000 number.
Yeah, and these are reasonable targets. When we think about it, they make sense, but everybody's situation is so different. As you mentioned, that number, if you're earning $500,000 as a family, you might have that $15,000 is going to be that debt to income, but however many other debts you have is going to really vary what you can really truly afford and what you might get a loan for.
We try to think of some things to keep in mind whenever you're evaluating your different options. And the big one to me is just what is going to be your time horizon?
Yep.
Now, if you're 30, 40 years old and you're in your prime earning years and you're planning to work until you're about 65, 70, then quite possibly a 30-year fixed mortgage, taking that on with that high monthly of a nut with $11,600 per month mortgage, that may seem like a lot, but if you're making $500,000 over the next 30 years, then you should feel pretty comfortable with that number. Mm-hmm. However, if you're 65 years old and you're looking to retire soon, obviously you don't want to take on a 30-year fixed mortgage, a 30-year time horizon if you're going to be retiring anytime soon, which we have come across.
Yeah, it's the common example of how much can I stretch this, right? Here's what we spoke before. You might qualify for something that's higher than you can truly afford. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are trying to understand how much I can stretch it. So your time horizon's a big one. How those other debts factor in, maybe you have still student debt or you maybe have a car loan. That's going to change that number now, but maybe that's going to be paid off in a year. Maybe that's going to change in the near term. So it would be okay to stretch it a little bit more if you have that. If you have a big emergency fund, so you have a lot of cash savings that won't be depleted after the down payment, you can maybe stretch it a little bit more and go to the higher end of these ranges.
Yeah, I think it depends on the stability of your income as well. So if you're an entrepreneur and your income is variable, I would play it a little bit more conservative. However, if you have a very stable W-2 income job and you feel like that your job and your income is really secure, then maybe you could go a little bit more on the aggressive side.
It's priorities too. Everybody has different financial goals, like you mentioned, where if all of our money is going to housing, we're going to be strapped for cash and everything else. And they call it house poor for a reason. You might have a great net worth. If it's all tied up in your home and you have these huge fixed monthly payments, it's a lot of stress to take on. Yeah. It doesn't give you career flexibility if you want to change jobs potentially or change fields. And you're stuck with, hey, I've got kids I'm trying to pay for. I need to pay for food. Like, for example, if this is somebody's gross, they get a loan and it's 45% debt to income, right? So 45% of your money is going to your house.
To your house.
You still need to pay taxes. You got to eat.
And that's close to 50% right there yeah, in California.
If you're this $500,000 couple, there goes a lot of money. You need to eat. You need to save for kids' stuff potentially or help support parents still potentially.
You got to drive to work
somehow. Yeah, you need to have a car.
Yeah.
You probably want to go on a vacation. And, you need to save money and your target should be in this 20-ish percent. So if we're already here, we're done. We've got no more money left.
Yes.
So you might qualify for it, but it doesn't mean it's the best financial decision for you.
Yeah. Just because a lender says you can't afford it doesn't mean you really can't afford it. Yeah. So they're just trying to close that loan.
You just have to be aware of how this is going to impact your other financial priorities.
And also keep in mind that we do see a common life cycle kind of play out with our clients. So our younger clients were in the prime earning years of their life. They're making really good income. They have a family. They want to buy the big house in the really nice neighborhood. And so they reach and they get that house. But then often what happens is whenever the kid goes off to college and the kids move out.
Yep, 10 years later.
They have a 4,000, 5,000 square foot house and it's just the two of them. And they're like, wow, well, I kind of regret buying this really big house.
Yeah.
I want to downsize. I want to simplify my life. I don't need this really big expense anymore.
Yeah, so they're looking to sell.
But then a lot of them are stuck with that sell because they have a low cost basis in there and a low tax base. That they're like, I don't even know if I really want to sell, so they're stuck.
Yep.
So consider all of these different things. It's not a simple, straightforward solution. Each situation really is different.
Yeah, and down payment, most of the time you'll hear people talk about getting 20% down payment. They say that because they're trying to get you to avoid paying PMI, which is private mortgage insurance.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fee if you put down less than 20% that doesn't go towards paying principal or interest. So that's where you'll hear the popularity of putting down 20%. I think it's a good goal to have, especially with rates being high.
I think you and I both really agree with this. Like
you really want to get there.
Yeah, you want something that's fixed. I mean, we're not a fan of these variable interests. We're not a fan of an extra PMI insurance. It's really not going towards anything. We like the 30-year fix, the 15-year fix if you can swing it.
Yeah.
That way you can plan around it. If you have a product that's not variable, that's hard to really plan for, it's a bomb. It's a liability in your financial plan. I think we're big fans of just saving. Come up with enough money for that down payment. Then once you can afford that down payment, put it down there, and that way you can actually plan for the next 15 or 30 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. Interest rates is a big topic right now as well. We've had rates going up the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And so just knowing that what you can afford is going to wildly fluctuate based off of interest rates. And a common theme people have is, I'm going to buy this home right now and I'll just refinance when rates go down. And they stretch it going, I can afford this if rates are 3%. I'm stretching it if rates are 6.5% or 7%, but that's a risky game to play because there's no guarantee rates will come down or anytime in the near term at least.
So I think the safe assumption is whatever the interest rates are right now, if you can afford it with the current rates and you can lock that in, just assume that that's going to be the case going forward.
Yep. And if you get to refinance in the future, great. You got lucky and that's wonderful.
Yeah,
but you cannot expect it or plan on it. What about other costs for owning a home? I feel like people forget about things like maintenance and just standard upkeep that comes from owning a home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like your expense ratio, right? So like mutual funds have their own expense ratio. I think your home has an expense ratio too. I think
it
does.
That's a pretty fair way of putting it.
You know, call it 1% maintenance
every
year.
That's what we usually see as being a good number. That can vary depending on location and square footage. But I think that's a good number to earmark because it's going to be variable, new roof or HVAC or plumbing, whatever it might be. But just thinking, can I afford the 1%? Because again, as this home price goes up, and especially we're in San Diego, home prices are really expensive. This is easy math if you're living in certain parts of the country. You go, oh, great. This 36%, this 28%, 36%, this is a no-brainer. In San Diego, this is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And if you're earning, say, $100,000, these numbers drop below what you can even rent a place for. So you're thinking, I can't even keep my rent under these numbers.
Yeah, $3,000. So if you're making $100,000 a year in San Diego, that's a $3,000 a month home expense. It's hard to find anything
It's really hard to stay under these numbers. So everybody's feeling stretched. But when you make that jump from maybe renting to buying your first home, you have to just allocate for these other expenses because it's a lot of hidden costs that you might not notice.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously there's a lot to consider with this. This is a very common issue for our clients. And oftentimes what we'll do is we'll run a few scenarios by our clients just to say, hey, here's option A, here's option B, and here's option C. Let's walk through all of these and which one really makes sense financially and which one really makes sense for you and your goals. And that really kind of helps flush out kind of what what is this client really getting into? Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon for our clients who make seven figures or more, they want to buy the really big house, but because their income is so uncertain in the next 5 years, 10 years, we really push back on really kind of pulling that trigger on this really big house. It's hard to commit to that. Because you can't plan. We don't know what their income is going to look like in five or 10 years. So if you need help, really seriously consider talking to a professional to walk you through these. That's what we do. We own a firm called Bullock Capital. If you want to reach out to us, look us up. We're at bullockcapital.com. We'd be more happy to talk with you to see if this makes sense. So with that, I think we're done, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.